Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that explores the people, the stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts this morning, Greta Anderson, joined by my co-host, Sandra Luft. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Greta. It's great to be here today.
And it's great to have you back. Sandra is our Local Talk correspondent for kids and family events in the area, and she is here today with a special edition of Family Talk to tell us about the many outdoor and especially nighttime activities that are available to families in these longest days of the year.
That's right. You know, it can be a bit of a challenge sometimes to put those kids to bed when the days are long and it's light out. And so we thought, why not embrace that and see what there is to do around the Ames area this month in those longer evenings when it's still light outdoors. So we've researched it, and we have a number of really exciting events to tell you about later in the show today.
Before we turn to those activities, I thought we could get an update from a story that we covered a couple weeks ago about the summer learning program at Ames Middle School. The program has been underway for about a week and a half now, and everything seems to be going smoothly. I checked in with them, and it's an exciting event. That's the first time ever in Ames. Just to review, this is a program that was being spearheaded by the United Way of Story County. Of course, every year, kids from grades kindergarten through eighth grade get identified by teachers as maybe needing to attend summer school. But this year, summer school has become a much bigger event after hearing data on what is called the summer slide, when kids lose a lot of the classroom learning that they've gained throughout the year, and also after identifying the needs of so many kids for solid meals during the summer when they don't have their lunch and breakfast. The United Way decided to make it a whole day of learning, food, and activities for these kids. And the Ames Community School District bought into the program by expanding their 3-week summer school program into a 6-week program.
So they're providing educational activities as well as meals to those children?
Yes. Now, the federal government has funding for summer programs targeted at those who normally receive free or reduced lunch for the summer. But the amazing thing is that all the people who are serving the breakfast, who are serving the lunch, and then who are doing the afternoon activities, all of those people are volunteers. And I heard there were 40 volunteer slots per day to get this program going, and they have managed to fill all of those. So on top of that, the leadership of the program has been delivered by AmeriCorps Vista workers.
And are they still looking for more volunteers to join them?
Yes, they are for July. They're pretty wrapped up for June, but July they need help. So yesterday I caught up with the lead Vista worker, Leslie Kohlhaas, who has been working on this project since February, and spoke with her. You've got a whole bunch of name tags there.
It's all the ones from the 5, 6, 7, 8, so
pretty big group there. Okay, at Leslie Kohlhaas, you've been working on this program for months, and now in the last several days you've seen it come to fruition. What has that been like?
It's been really, really amazing to see everything come together because we put so much planning and prep into it. And so it's fun to actually see the kids here and interacting and doing the projects that we've been planning for months now and really seeing the excitement that they've had.
Has there been any activity that the kids would probably say has been their favorite?
Well, I will say today we had National Animal Disease Labs come in with the third and fourth graders. And they did a bunch of science experiments and were mixing all kinds of different soaps and vinegar and baking soda and making all these different colored tubes and all kinds of science. And the kids were so engaged. It was amazing to walk out there and see all 35 kids just really into what they were doing. And so that's been really fun. And then we had Mustard Seed Farms come with the K-1-2 group this past week, and they brought a bunch of really interesting vegetables that the kids had never seen and never tried, and got them to try all these vegetables. And we actually had one little boy that came and had us write kohlrabi down on his paper so that he could tell his parents so we could get some more. So it was really cute, and it's fun to see them enjoying those activities.
Wow. What about the volunteers? What has been your experience with the volunteers?
We've had people be really excited to come and be serving the meals to the kids and be working with the kids one-on-one, kind of that hands-on activity stuff. So it's been great.
Have you had some people come back who had originally just volunteered for one time and then they've kind of caught the bug?
Yes, we've definitely seen that, and it is exactly what we were hoping for, that people would love what they're doing and see the importance of it and come back. We've definitely seen that. I have almost all the people that we've had in have been repeats on multiple days already, so, and we're just in the second week here. So we've had about 115 kids each day in the enrichment in the afternoon, which has been really great numbers. And we've served about 150 across each day for breakfast and lunch and snacks. So that's been really amazing in terms of the numbers.
And how about volunteers?
Volunteers, we've so far filled almost all our roles for the beginning of June and the weeks that we've already, or the days that we've already been starting. We are still looking for volunteers come July. We have a lot of our food service roles filled already, but we still need some of those commitments to the enrichment program, which we understand is a little bit longer time commitment. So I think that's been a little bit of the struggle, but I think that people are going to see how great of a program it is this month and hopefully still want to come back next month and do that for us and for those kids. So,
what do you want people to know about this program who are out there and listening on the radio?
I would say if one thing was really important for people to know would just be that we're really helping the right group of kids here. These kids are very engaged in what we're doing, and we're helping them a lot through the food program and the enrichment program. And it's so great to see their eyes light up when we're working with them on projects, and we're really reaching the right group of kiddos here. So,
thanks a lot, Leslie.
Thank you.
That's Leslie Kohlhaus. She's a VISTA volunteer, and she's been program coordinator of the summer learning program and summer food service program at the Ames Middle School. I also got to speak with Ben Jacobson, a recent graduate of ISU who is going on to attend graduate school in computer science, and he's a very personable young man, and he also serves on the board of United Way. He's the only college student to be on the board of United Way. And I could just tell the kids were very enamored with him. It was sweet. And here's what he had to say about his afternoon activities. So, Ben, you're a volunteer at the summer learning program here at the Ames Middle School. Tell me how it's been for you.
Oh, it's been great. The kids have so much energy. It really makes me feel super young again. And the kids just are soaking up so much information over the summer. It's nice to see them doing activities with, the soccer club here in Ames comes in and teaches them how to do soccer. We have presenters from the Ames Historical Society teaching them about the history. Riemann Gardens teaching them about plants. And they're doing all sorts of science experiments. Today they mixed acids and bases to see what would happen from that. And all sorts of cool science experiments.
All right, and you are a lead teacher of the third and fourth grade, is that correct?
That's correct. I'm a facilitator, so for PE, generally I'll lead that activity, but then in the afternoon after PE, we'll have presenters come in, and they're knowledgeable in their area of expertise, so it's great to have them really share their knowledge with the students. All the children are great, and they all have come from different backgrounds, and so the diversity that's in the classroom is amazing. It's cool to see the social dynamics that are already starting, because we're mixing the third and fourth graders, so some of them knew each other really well, and some of them are just beginning to know each other.
Ben, these are kids who were selected by their teachers as needing extra help academically. Observing them, watching them learn from these people from outside the school system and experts in their field, what do you think of?
So I think it's good that they're getting the extra help and in an environment that is really bringing together people from that have these different abilities. So we split into small groups, and it's really nice to have that individual attention that they really need to get caught up with where their classmates, I'm sure, are at this point. Where if they don't catch up with their classmates, they're just always going to be behind. I think it definitely makes a difference when we split into small groups, how engaged they are and how willing they are to learn.
What's the ratio of adult to kids?
It's when we split into small groups, it's about 5-1 or 4-1, depending on how many volunteers we have that day.
Cool. Thank you.
That was Ben Jacobson, a star volunteer for the United Way's Summer Learning Program this summer.
Well, I just love the idea that all these kids are doing science experiments with world-class scientists, no less.
Science is a big part of the afternoon programming, which is based on the STEM idea of enriched science, technology, engineering, and math. The organizers of the whole program repeated to me a couple of times how important it is to get girls involved in science and math before the fifth grade if they don't love science by then, they never will.
That's right. I'm very much excited about the idea of girls in the sciences, and we usually encourage our daughter to get involved. In my work as advisor at ISU, I'm always excited when I see girls who are in the STEM fields and excelling at it.
Yeah. Well, after talking with Ben, I'm just a little nervous because it turns out his position is one that I've actually volunteered for in July. And so I'm feeling like he is going to be a very hard act to follow. But anyway, I am excited to be participating in such a program. And this program is something that KHOI, I think, has a lot in common with because we are also very dependent on volunteers. And we also, just like that program, are calling the very best of what our community has to offer and sharing it with you, our listener.
So if anyone does want to get involved still for July, who should they contact?
If you go to the United Way website, there's a section in the left-hand margin where you can click there, and that will lead you to volunteer opportunities for the July. You can have a very short-term engagement or long-term engagement, and you can serve lunch, serve breakfast, or you can do the afternoon learning activities, and that really seems to be, based on what Ben said, a really good use of your time because that will increase the teacher-to-student ratio and really allow those kids to get some very thoughtful time in. So,
okay. You're listening to KHOI Community Radio, and when we return, we're going to be talking to our live studio guest today from the Storey County Conservation Center and moving into the family talk portion of today's program. So stay with us.
Fireflies flash when they like what they see. They see you and they see me. Their tails light up when they say hello. How do you do? And how did you know that your little light could make me feel so good? All those little lights shine out through tangled world. Fireflies flash when they like what they see. Green lush hills and sweet iced tea. Summertime nights are long and warm. We stay out late behind our home where the big sky is brightened all night long. By the fireflies singing their evening time song. Fireflies flash when they like what they see. They see you and they see me. Their tails light up when they say hello. How do you do? And how did you know that your little light could make me feel so good? All those little lights shine out.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts today, Greta Anderson, and I'm here with Sandra Luft. Sandra has a monthly program here on the station called Family Talk, where she highlights some of the events and activities that are going on in our community and adjusted to the season. And we have a very special season right now.
That's right. We are in the solstice month. That means our days are the longest they're going to be. And so our show today is focused on that and activities we can do with families and kids in those late summer evenings when the sun sets much later than usual in the year.
I checked the calendar for sunrise and sunset, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are the longest days of the year. We'll have 15-hour and I believe 12-minute days.
Wow.
And sunset is scheduled for 8:52 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Saturday at 5 a.m. is technically identified as the solstice moment, but I think we can celebrate Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, many cultures celebrate the solstice. Most famously, probably in Russia, there are the white nights, which is they're at a very high latitude, and so they don't even get a sunset. They just have a kind of perpetual dusk until it becomes day again, and that's a very exciting celebration. I remember from my own childhood how difficult it is sometimes to go to bed when it's still light out. Or another thing that happens is the kids wake up really early because the sun's coming up at 5:30.
Yes, I am familiar with that experience. I can definitely relate to that. Our kids have been getting up very early because the sun starts rising so much earlier. Fortunately, we're still okay on bedtime. But for those parents who have kids that are up late and looking for things to do, we've rounded up a number of activities that you can take advantage of this month of June in the evenings with your kids. And we're going to be talking about them all throughout the hour today. I am going to start, actually, with one activity that is this Saturday, June 21st, organized by the Ames Area Astronomers Club. And I recently had a chance to catch up with Ed Engel from the Astronomers Club, and he told me a little bit about the Starbecue that they're planning for the Saturday.
I hear you might have had some special sound effects for this interview.
Sure, let's go with that version. Really, we're at the Memorial Union on campus, and the sound wasn't the best, and I'm still learning as a new reporter. So pretend it's a planetarium-type sound effect that you're listening to.
Okay.
So let's listen to Ed.
So the group is the Ames Area Amateur Astronomers, and we've been in existence since about 1979, so for quite a long time. And we've had an observatory of one sort or another at McFarland Park since the early 80s, about 82 or 83. The organization it's a club for people interested in astronomy. One of the goals of the club, it's in our bylaws, is that one of our main activities is doing educational outreach. So we provide star parties and educational events for Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and 4-H groups, and we go to schools occasionally, and we do a lot of educational outreach opportunities. So this kind of fits in with that. One of the challenges that you have in the summer in Iowa and any far north place, if you're an astronomer, is that it doesn't get dark until late. And so if we want to go out and observe in June, especially around the solstice, it's not until 10 o'clock or later that the sky gets dark enough. So we normally, for the June meeting, we normally have a picnic during the early evening to make up for the fact that we won't be able to observe until much later. And that makes it a good opportunity for younger people. With kids, we pick bright things that are easy to see. A lot of diehard amateur astronomers are going for things that are very faint fuzzies. And so when we're doing a star party or an event with kids and families, we'll normally pick things that are bright and very understandable. For instance, Saturn. Oftentimes the first time kids see, well, an adult see Saturn through a telescope, it's just mind-blowing because it looks like someone took a picture and taped it to the front of the telescope. And I've before had to bring them around to the other end of the telescope and show them that we didn't tape us a picture in there.
That was Ed Engel from the Ames Area Astronomers Club. I think that's wonderful that they're working with local schools to teach children more about the night sky and the solar system. My daughter's only 2.5, and she's already really interested in the sky, and especially in the moon. We're always looking at the moon. And I mentioned this to Ed, and he had some great tips for looking at the moon with children as well. So let's listen to what he had to say about that.
And the moon is neat because that's something you can observe easily with naked eye. And most everyone has a pair of binoculars, mm-hmm. and looking at the moon with a pair of binoculars is fascinating. You can see a wealth of detail, mm-hmm. or with a telescope. So that's a good first start. Something we encourage a lot is when people are thinking about buying a telescope, is we suggest first they buy a pair of binoculars, a good quality pair of binoculars, for three reasons. One, they're cheaper. You can get a good pair of binoculars for under $100 and probably under $50. And they're portable. You don't have to set anything up. You don't have to haul equipment anywhere. And then you can see probably 10,000 different objects in the night sky with a pair of binoculars. But finally, you can use them for non-astronomical things. You don't have to just have them for viewing the night sky. If you take an astronomical telescope and try and look at something, a bird in a distant tree, number one, it's going to be upside down, which is not a problem in astronomy, but it's kind of difficult for terrestrial. And then secondly, you're looking at just a little tiny piece of whatever you're looking at. And so you might see just the bill of the bird. It'll be hard to see the entire bird. So binoculars, at least as the first step, are the way to go. The biggest challenge nowadays that you have with seeing the night sky is light pollution. In order to see a lot of the night sky, you need to kind of get out of town, essentially. And the further you can get away from lights, the better. In Ames, it's possible to see the sky glow from the city of Des Moines. And then, of course, you see the sky glow of the city of Ames. So even if you go 30 miles away, you're still going to see a little bit at the near the horizon of glow from whatever that nearest city is. Mm-hmm. But if you can get to rural parts of Story County, the Conservation Center is a good example, then other than the south 20% of the sky, you'll have a pretty nice dark sky. If you want really dark skies in the state of Iowa, about the best spot is in southern Greene County and northern Guthrie County, near the town of Coon Rapids. There's a nice, what's it called? It's White Rock Resort. It is a prairie and wildlife refuge near Coon Rapids. And they have beautiful dark skies. You can still see the glow from Des Moines, and you can actually see the glow from Omaha to the west, but they're low enough down in the sky that it doesn't impact your viewing. So if you want a really dark sky, then head south and west. If you want even darker skies, then the Sand Hills in Nebraska have really dark skies. And some of the mountains in Colorado do.
That was Ed Engel from the Ames Area Astronomers Club talking about the best places around central Iowa for stargazing at night. And if you've just tuned in, we're talking about summer evening kids' activities today on Family Talk. And the Ames Area Astronomers Club is having a summer starbecue this month on June 21st, Saturday, at 7:30 p.m. at McFarland Park. And the event is open to anyone who wants to attend. As Ed mentioned, they'll be starting out with some social activities and dinner to allow the sky to darken. As we've noted, it gets dark much later this month. And then they will attempt to look at the solar system through telescopes. They're going to have a number of telescopes set up for children to look through, and anyone's invited to join them.
Sandra, for parents who might not be able to attend the starbecue, did Ed give you any tips on how to accustom children to looking through a telescope?
He did. We actually did spend a little bit of time talking about that at the end, and he had a great suggestion. He mentioned using those paper towel rolls, the toilet paper rolls that you get left with after using the roll, that tube, and using one of those, because the thing children often struggle with is looking through a telescope with just one eye. So he mentioned, get them accustomed to it by using a tube, have them place a hand over one eye, look through the tube, and have them find objects around the room. Make it a game. Get them used to closing one eye, looking through one eye. And so when you do have an opportunity to use a telescope, then they're ready to go. They know what to do.
And I understand there are some websites that Ed told you to check into?
He did. So a few resources he left us with are the Ames Astronomers website. AmesAstronomers.com is their website. You can find more information on what they do and how to join them, as well as SpaceWeather.com, which shows a real-time image of the sun taken by satellite. And then a last website to check out with your children is apod.nasa.gov, and we'll have all of these linked on our website, so you don't have to remember them now. And that one shows an astronomy picture of the day taken by NASA.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. Did you see the full moon? Did you get a chance to look at the night sky? Especially last week, I think we had what they were calling a strawberry moon.
I most certainly did. One of those full moon days, I saw the moon just as it was rising in the east, I think at about 8:30. And then a few days later, I caught it just as it was rising in the east at around 11 p.m.
That's right. I guess it's pretty unpredictable at this time. So if you are looking to go outside with your children, what's a good way to actually know when to do it?
There's many a website that will tell you the moonrise and moonset. And if you're planning an activity and you want to look smart for your kids, you don't want to
be out there at 7 p.m. waiting for 3 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but of course, if you're going to be looking at the stars, it's best if the moon isn't out. And the Ames Area Astronomers Club, in their wisdom, chose a day that I checked. The moon won't be rising until 2 a.m. on Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
So there will be plenty of dark sky for the stargazing event that they'll be having on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think we'll link to a moon calendar on our site as well to show at what times the moon will be rising this month.
Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Lead us less too far, we wonder. Love's sweet voice is calling yonder. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer. Glimmer, hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer. Light the path below above and lead us on to love. Turn on the AC and the DC. This night could use a little brightening. Light up, you little old bug of lightning. When you gotta glow, you gotta glow. Glow, little glowworm, glow. Glow, little glowworm, glow and glimmer. Swim through the sea of night, little swimmer. Thou every night a cold weevil. Illuminate yon wood's primeval. See how the shadows deep and darken. You and your chicks should get to sparking. I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glowworm, glow. Glow, little glowworm, turn the key on. You are equipped with taillight neon. You got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took the shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glowworm, glow.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio, and we are talking about kids' activities today in these longest days of the year. And we're joined by Sydney Allgreen today in the studio, our guest. She is the Community Outreach Coordinator at the Storey County Conservation Center. And they have a number of events planned this month and in the coming months that take advantage of the evening times and those evening hours. So welcome, Sydney. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Sydney, why don't you tell us a little bit about the activities you have planned for June, and then we can talk about what's ahead in the coming months as well.
Sure. This summer at Storey County Conservation, we have different events happening each month. Last month, it was a frog hike, and this month, it's a firefly program. And actually, this month's program was really, really popular, as well as the frog program, so those have already filled up. But there are, of course, ways that you can explore fireflies on your own with your family at home.
So this month's Firefly Foray, as you noted, is already full because it's such a popular event. But can you tell us what you do with the Firefly Foray and how parents might be able to do this at home in their own backyards?
Sure. Everything that we do at our programs are usually things that you can do on your own, and our programs are just a good introductory to get you outside and exploring. So at our program, what we'll first start doing is introducing you to fireflies, talking about what they use their light for, how they communicate with it, the fact that there are many different kinds of fireflies, even in Iowa. And then we'll have time to go outside and explore and try and catch those fireflies. We generally have a craft that you can do that relates. So those are all things that you can do at home. I know the Ames Public Library has a lot of books on fireflies, so you guys are all welcome to go out and check out a book and maybe read that with your family and then head outside and try and catch the fireflies.
And how would one go about catching a firefly?
They're really easy to catch, actually. I remember catching them when I was little all the time, especially around the 4th of July. It always seems to be a busy month for fireflies, but basically just go outside around dusk when the sun is setting, when it starts to get dark, and you'll see the fireflies lighting up, and you can just walk up to them and grab them out of the sky. A lot of them are on the ground, too, or on plants, so you can always pick them off of plants, too.
So do you use a jar? What do you use to
Yeah, you can use a jar, or some people have those special bug jars with nets on top. You just need to make sure that whatever container you're using, you have holes so that the fireflies can breathe, obviously. Yeah. And then it's nice to put some kind of vegetation and water in there as well with them. And normally we would suggest just catching them and keeping them overnight and then releasing them. Unfortunately, firefly populations have been shown to decrease in recent years, and they're not really sure why, if it's because of light pollution or pesticide use or what. So we want to make sure that people are releasing the fireflies back into the environment.
That's a great idea, great suggestion. And I've noticed fireflies a lot biking in the evening through Brookside Park, where it's really densely forested, that path, that trail that goes through Brookside. And it's beautiful biking through there and seeing all those fireflies light up at night. I don't notice them as much as our own backyard. So are there spots like that? Is it usually easier to find them in more densely wooded parks in Ames? Is that where people should go if they're doing this on their own?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that you want to look for if you're going to try and catch fireflies. They need a water source. And so they're normally found around lakes or ponds or streams. I think there's a river that
there
goes through
Brookside.
There is one in Brookside.
Okay, that makes sense now.
And even if you have a fountain in your backyard, that can help attract them to your yard. They also like darker places, so if it's darker at Brookside, they might enjoy that. And their larvae live on the ground, and they like to live under leaf litter. So in a forest, that's a really good place for the young fireflies to live.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
I see you also have an evening prairie walk scheduled. Can
yes.
you tell us about that?
This is a really great partnership that we have with the Iowa Prairie Network, Lloyd Krim. He's actually been leading these hikes for 22 years, and he does it on a volunteer basis. He leads a hike once a month, usually on the last Thursday of the month. So this month's hike will be June 26th, which is next Thursday. And they're really relaxed. They're really casual. You just meet in the Doolittle parking lot. Lloyd usually gives an introduction. And he always has these cards prepared, which are really nice. They list the plants and tell you what's blooming, what colors are blooming, and then what you can expect for next month's hike. And then you'll hike into the prairie, and he'll point out some interesting plants. He's full of knowledge, so he can basically answer any question you might have. And there's always time for you and your family to explore on your own. Doolittle is a really special place because it's called a remnant prairie. So that means that it was never plowed under for soybeans or corn or any other crop. So some of the plants that you find at Doolittle, you might not find at many other prairies in Iowa. They're very rare and very special, so it's a great place to check out with your family.
That's wonderful. So that is next Thursday at 7 p.m., you said?
Yes, next Thursday at 7 p.m.
And then
can you tell us where Doolittle Park is located?
Sure. Doolittle Prairie is located 1 mile north of 150th Street on 560th Avenue. It's 1 mile west of I-35 and 1 mile south of County Road E-18.
And then you have one more evening event coming up soon, the Moonlight Paddle. Can you tell us more about that?
That is our July evening program, and that'll happen on Saturday. I believe it's July 12th. And one of our naturalists will welcome everyone to Hickory Grove Park, so that's kind of by Colo or Nevada. And she'll give a brief paddling instruction, so if you're a beginner, that's no problem at all. You'll learn how to paddle. And the lake will be really calm, I'm assuming it generally is. So it's a really good place to learn how to paddle if you haven't before. Then you'll have some time to explore the lake and look at, you know, different things that you might hear or find at the nighttime. And it's supposed to be a full moon, so it should be nice and bright out there for everyone. And after that, we'll have a campfire and s'mores.
That sounds wonderful.
Great, yeah.
And I understand there's no minimum age requirement either. I looked into it since I thought maybe our two-year-old might like to do this, but wondered if she's too young.
We don't limit the age. It is best, we do say that you need to have at least one adult in each canoe. But a lot of times we'll have two adults paddling and then put the youngsters in the middle of the canoe. Mm-hmm. And since it is such a calm area, you don't have to worry about trees in the middle or rapids or anything like that. Generally, it's pretty safe. And we also have life jackets for everyone to use as well.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really romantic setting with the moon and the stars and just a nice evening out.
That sounds perfect. Well, thanks so much, Sydney, for coming in and talking to us. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, we have tons of programs going on. We have another evening program in August, so I know it's quite a ways off. That'll be a night hike. But you can always check our website, www.storycountyconservation.org, and look at our events calendar, and it'll have all the information you need about how to get signed up and where to go.
You also have a newsletter, don't you?
We do. We have our Prairie Horizons, which is a quarterly newsletter, and that can also be found on our website, and that has all the information about the programs, too.
Great. Well, great. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Willows were swaying, the water was rippling, the froggies were singing, along with the lapping at the bank. We have the moon to thank for this lovely scene we might never have seen if it hadn't have been for the moon. Why? Look at that moon. Away up high, seeing everything that goes by. Why? Look at that moon. Why? Beneath a lonesome sky, who my oh my it would be if it never been above that faithful little ball, that one that has beheld true love to history.
that start? Why must the lovers part? Why does the cheating go on? Why have hearts turned to stone? Why look at that moon? Away up high, seeing everything that goes by. Why look at that moon? Why look at the moon?
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio, and we are talking about kids' activities today. There is one more event this June that I'm excited about, Greta, and it is one that you can do in your very own backyard.
Great. What's that?
So my family loves camping, and we've been very excited about introducing our children to camping, but have been a little nervous about doing it since they are pretty young, and I'm not sure how they're going to react to being in a tent all night. So I thought I would look into ideas for backyard camping. And I discovered that there is actually something called the Great American Backyard Campout scheduled for the end of June. And this is something that's put on by the National Wildlife Federation. And on their website, they describe this as something where thousands of people across the U.S. will gather in their backyards, neighborhoods, communities, and parks to take part in an annual event that provides a way for children to appreciate nature, to connect with their families and their community, and be able to do it right there without having to travel anywhere. So this is scheduled for June 28th, as I mentioned, on Saturday. And the idea is that all across the U.S., tents are popping up in backyards and neighborhoods, and everyone is sleeping outdoors that night.
I love that idea. People all across the country in their tents.
Yeah, and their goal is to get 10 million kids to spend that night outside sleeping in their backyard. So you can go on their website, and we'll link to that on our site, and you can actually officially register and sign up, and you can also see where others have planned a backyard campout. So I looked up Iowa, and there's only one, and it's not in Ames, that's officially registered. So why not get some Ames neighborhoods and neighbors maybe officially signing up and doing this?
That's right. We got to rep Ames.
Yeah. So as I noted, you can go on their website. It's the National Wildlife Federation's website, and see where there are sites and sign up and commit to doing this on the last Saturday of the month.
Sounds good.
Greta, is camping something you enjoy doing? Is this something that you did often as a child?
We didn't do it that often as a child. It was mostly when I got older that I did camping. And one of my favorite backyard features is a fire pit, and those are very fun to build, and it's something that you can do within an afternoon to get ready for your camping adventure. So I usually dig about 1 foot deep, maybe 1.5 feet deep, and a circle about a diameter of maybe a yard, 3 feet. And that just helps, you know, ensure the safety, and then you might line it with stones or something and collect sticks and just build a fire that evening. It's really fun. And then you have that always to go back to and have a fire any time of the year. Yeah. Even I've had fires on like December 31st to ring in the new year, and a fire pit is really a great backyard feature.
And we started out talking about the solstice, and I think a lot of people celebrate the solstice with a backyard fire. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah. There's a tradition at my church that we would have a bonfire on the solstice.
And is s'mores then part of that?
Oh, of course. S'mores are always part of campfire events, just as Sydney was saying. And then, of course, there's always the campfire story that is part of the tradition of a campfire. So, yeah, if you've got a campfire, you've got to have a campfire story. And the campfire story that I remember from my childhood was the man with the golden arm. And I looked it up on the internet, and sure enough, Andy Griffith tells this story in one episode of the Andy Griffith Show. and we can listen to it here. This is a story that my dad would tell, and I think he must have watched the Andy Griffith Show because he told it exactly the same way that Andy Griffith tells it here.
I'll tell one. Now, be real quiet for a minute. Be real quiet. Let me see. Listen. You hear that? That's a hoot owl. That reminds me of a story. A long time ago, right in these very woods, there lived an old hermit. And they say that buried right here in these woods, there was this hidden treasure. And this old hermit used to look for that treasure. Day and night he looked for it. One night, he went into a real dark cave looking for the treasure. And suddenly, there were two eyes looking at him, burning like coals of fire. And the old hermit reached out his hand. And he touched something furry. And the thing went, "Arr!" It was a bear. It bit his arm off, took out his knife, and he killed the bear with his other arm. And while he was stumbling around, trying to get out of the cave, he found the treasure. And he took it, and he bought himself an arm to replace the arm he had lost. And it wasn't an ordinary arm. It was an arm made out of pure gold. Many years later, when the old hermit died, a thief who had heard about this golden arm came and stole it. And then a strange thing happened. When they came to get the old hermit to bury him, he was gone. He disappeared. And they say that right today, he's looking for that golden arm without which he can never be buried. And he's looking right here in these very woods for his golden arm. And you can hear him at night. You can hear him saying, "Ooh, ooh, who stole my golden arm? Who stole my golden arm? Who stole my golden arm?"
And then at the end of this, he says, "You've got it." And he grabs the person next to him, which I think might have been Barney Fife, which scared the bejesus out of Barney and, Don Knotts with his big eyes. So that was the man with the golden arm. And I think, from just listening to this story, I think there are several elements of a good campfire story.
Okay, what are those?
Well, I think it has to be scary, first of all.
Right.
Right, because that's part of the excitement of being outdoors is it's a little bit scary. It's out of the ordinary. And then I think it's also important to dispel that fear with some humor the end because, he turns and grabs somebody and makes it clear that the whole intention of the story was simply to scare you. It's not a real story. So you don't want the kids to be too scared to sleep or decide that they want to go inside because, they don't like this. And then it seemed like what he did there with connecting the sound of the owls to the story that he's telling, I think that was a really good technique. I think it's a great idea to – it might help stimulate your imagination to listen to some of the sounds that you're hearing that the animals, the wildlife are making. And then to, instead of turning it into a science lesson, that's this and this and this, you can turn it into a story and kind of stimulate your kids' imagination. So I actually checked with Pat Schlaubaum, who is our wildlife expert here at KHOI, and we often do phenology, which is kind of telling our listeners what kind of things are going on in the natural world. And we talked about the 17-year cicada. Evidently, there's a kind of cicada that goes into hibernation of some kind for 17 years and then comes out, and this is their year. It's called Brood 3.
And this summer, this is when we'll be listening to them?
Yeah. And I've heard on Facebook, I've seen people already hearing the Brood 3 17-year cicada. So I gathered some sound of them from the internet so we could listen and hear what it sounds like.
Okay.
The only problem with listening to the cicadas is there's also crickets and katydids, Pat told me. So as far as separating all that sounds, that could be challenging. But there's another sound in the evening, and this is the barred owl. Pat Schlarbaum said that barred owls are out, and they have a very distinct sound. Some people say that it sounds like somebody is saying, "Who cooks for you?" Who cooks for you? So if you can build a story around the whole idea of who cooks for you, I think you could also build a story around, you know, 17 years, something, you know, I don't know. But here's the who cooks for you sound of the barred owl. So that's the barred owl, and you can turn that into a good ghost story for your kids if you give it a little thought.
Yeah, our neighbor actually just happened to catch one, and they took it into the vet clinic at ISU. So I guess
they are out and about.
They are out and about, yeah.
And then Pat points out that in the morning you get different songs. Songs of the robins and the house wrens, and of course those are more reassuring sounds. So
I guess the idea is just take your children outside, listen to the sounds around, and try to make it interesting by connecting it to a story.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Well, we're running out of time. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. This has been a special edition of Family Talk, produced by Sandra Luft with assistance from me, Greta Anderson.
We've been your hosts today, and we've been talking about nighttime and evening activities to do with your family to celebrate what are the longest days of our year this month. And our guests included Ed Engel from the Ames Area Astronomers Club, the club that is having a starbecue this Saturday, and Sydney Allgreen of the Storey County Conservation Center, who came and spoke to us about several nighttime events this month and in July and August.
Links to that information will be available on our website, khoifm.org, by the end of the day. We also spoke with Leslie Kohlhaus and Ben Jacobson of United Way, who are working to make the summer learning program over at the middle school a success. There are still openings for volunteers in July, which you can access through their website, uwstory.org.
Our engineer today was Cynthia McClure. Thank you, Cynthia, for handling all those clips so skillfully.
Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. If you'd like to get involved, come down to the station at 410 Douglas Avenue or give us a call, 292-2878. That's 292-2878.
Your participation as audience, as well as your generous contributions, is what makes KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.